Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and here we are. We're gathering around all over the world, gathering around the throne of grace to worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And today you have a sermon entitled, How to Look Beautiful. And so if you want to be interested in looking beautiful, you can look beautiful, I guarantee you it. And you just stay with us and we'll give you the secrets of looking beautiful. But before that, we want to share some of the letters. We just are so happy to hear from so many of you. And people say, well, we'd like to hear what others have to say. So I just want to share some of our letters that we got today. The first one is from Graham Washington. And this is a man, and he writes, when I was a young boy, I was raised by my grandparents. My grandmother read the Bible to me at night. After she passed away, I went astray. But now I am 68 years old. I watch you and your staff. I love your ministry. God bless you. It gives me hope. Her name was Anna. Thank you. And I just think, here, look, this is that old grandmother. These old grandmothers, I don't know where the grandfathers are, but the grandmothers are there telling Bible stories and teaching them about Jesus and reading the Bible. And here she read this little boy. Now, I'll bet you she prayed for that little boy before he was ever born. And she prayed for him and loved him and read the Bible. And then she died, and the boy goes off into sin. And then grandmother's prayers are answered. And the gospel is preached, and he hears the good news, and there's hope, and he's come back to Jesus. And I just think that is so wonderful. And so when you pray for your children and your grandchildren, and you read the Bible and teach them, it'll bear fruit just to trust Jesus. And here's a call we had from Armour, South Dakota. Another grandmother. Where are the grandfathers? Well, they're there. God bless them. But this is a grandmother she called. And she and her 9-year-old grandson and 5-year-old granddaughter watched our service. And when it was over, the little boy said, I would like to accept Jesus, but I don't know how. And so the grandmother prayed with him, just like we're teaching you to pray. You pray, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And I promise to love you and follow you all the days of my life. That's in your own words. And the little 9-year-old boy prayed that and was born again. And then the grandmother asked the little girl, would you like to accept Jesus? She says, no. So you see, she isn't quite ready yet. When the Holy Spirit talks to her and a child can come. This little boy's 9 years old. I was 10 years old when I accepted Jesus. And we lived way out in the sticks. We lived so far out in the country, out in the sticks, the sun set before it got to our house, if you can believe it. And I didn't know up from down, but they told me about Jesus, and I asked him into my heart. And for 85 years, he's been there, and he's never going to leave me. And he's going to take me to heaven one of these bright, sunny days. So just to work with those children. Here's a letter from Boyne City, Missouri. I've tried suicide, but unsuccessful. I've committed so many sins, I don't feel worthy enough to go to heaven. I have changed my life, quit drugs, alcohol, smoking, but lacking self-esteem. Trying to find myself, not sure what to do. At times I feel alone. I talk to God regularly. Any literature and guidance you can send would be helpful. Thank you. Well, we can sure send word to him, because that's why I love to preach the gospel. There's hope, there's hope. And God says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And you take Jesus into your heart, and he'll cleanse you, and he'll wash away your sins. And then you clean up your life. Don't clean up your life and then come to Jesus. Come to Jesus in all of your filth and sin and wickedness, and ask him to come into your heart and cleanse you. He'll make you a new creation. and he'll give you strength to overcome these things. Oh, the glorious gospel. And then there's one more that I want to read, and that's from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And this person writes and says, I have just watched your broadcast called The Bible and God, and from Psalm 119, and wanted to thank you very much for the great teaching. I learned a lot of the program, and it brightened my day. It's so wonderful that you provide this worship service that is very encouraging to so many. May God bless you and all your loved ones. Praise Jesus sincerely. And so she's talking about, I think it was about a month or 6 weeks ago, and I had a series of four sermons on why we believe the Bible is the Word of God. And if you want to get any of them or all of them, you can write to us, and we will send them CDs or DVDs, and we send them on a free will offering basis. And so you can write to us. I'm going to give the address right now. It's Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write to us. And if you can send a gift, all right. Some people in prison, some people on Social Security don't have anything. And so we send them a gift. We send these CDs and DVDs, whatever you want. And we're glad to do that. So I will be looking for your letter, and trust the God that just guide and direct us as we talk about the wonderful Savior and the wonderful Word of God, that after the heavens and earth has passed away, my word shall still stand. Oh, the glorious gospel, the beautiful Bible. Well, I told you I'm going to tell you how you can look beautiful. And you look at me and you say, well, it hasn't worked yet. Well, I'm working on it. Give me a little time. I'm only 94. After all, Rome wasn't built in a day either. But when you talk about beautiful, you say, well, what do you mean beautiful? Because sometimes, you know, beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. And something beautiful to one person, maybe just ugly to the other. And so we have to say, well, what does God say is beautiful? And we have a hint of it in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, where Peter says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. The humble, there's your key, humility. God, he says, resisteth the proud. He's against the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. And then Peter says, in due time, God exalts them. And so that's what God will do. If we just are humble people and give ourselves wholly to him and live for him the best we can become beautiful in God's sight. Humility. I read the story not long ago about some folks invited to a home of a multimillionaire, and he's a very proud man. And he was showing all everything he had. And then during the evening, the topic of prayer came up. And people were saying, well, it's a wonderful thing to pray, you know, and how that we had needed something. We could ask God for that, and he'd help us. And the rich man says, I never pray. I don't have to pray. I've got money, and I'll buy anything I want. I can buy the whole county if I want to. I don't need prayer. And one dear Christian lady who loved the Lord Jesus and boldly says, well, there's one thing you might pray for. And what is that? Said the proud multimillionaire. And she says, you might pray for humility, sir. And you know, that's something we all need to think about, because so many times we have to think that we are so great and so proud. But someone has accurately defined humility. That grace that when you know you have it, you've lost it. And so we have to be careful that we humble ourselves in the sight of God. And we're going to talk of that and look at that now, about this matter of humility. True humility is found only in Christian circles. The world doesn't know anything about humility. They only are proud and high-minded and stiff-necked. And true humility is just found among Christian people. And so there isn't any place for the proud and the haughty and the mighty and those powerful things. but those who are humble in the sight of the God. Pride, you know, led to the downfall of Lucifer. And when we, and Lucifer was at the very throne of God, he was created by God as an angel, an angelic being, and he reigned at the very throne of God. But because of pride, he was cast out of heaven and became Satan, the devil, and he torments all the world in his anger and his wickedness. And so we have to be careful that we don't look like Satan like he did and talk about ourselves and all the things we've done and doing. And so we must be like John the Baptist. And here he comes out of the desert and he lives on locusts and wild honey and he's living close to the Lord and he's preaching powerfully. He clothed in the skins of animals. And he's preaching, he has multitudes of people following him and repenting him. John the Baptist. And one day Jesus came on the scene and John the Baptist pointed his finger at Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Follow him." That was humility. When you can get a preacher to give away his congregation, you know that he's really being led by the Spirit and he's a humble man. And when then John said, and he said when he saw Jesus, he says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John 3, verse 30. And that's got to be your prayer and my prayer, because we just cannot overemphasize the importance of being a humble people and putting Christ first. And so many times we talk about ourselves, and or we if there's something gone wrong, we blame somebody else. We blame our husband. We blame our wife. We blame the deacons. We blame the children. The children blame the parents. It's a wild goose chase. Nobody wants to say, "I am sorry. I was wrong." We're too proud. And we've got to start with number one and work on that and be very careful about it. So let's look at this matter of humility first of all. First of all, humility is the door into the kingdom of God. That's the door that when we accept Jesus Christ, we have to humble ourselves and come to Jesus and confess that we're a sinner. Humility, many people don't ever enter the kingdom of God because they're all taken up with themselves. You know, when the disciples were having an argument one day, and there was a hot and heavy argument, and were they taking each other apart? And they, you know what they were arguing about? Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew 18, 1, chapter 1, he tells us what they were arguing about. "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" There you see it is. It's personal ambition. It's grasping for power. It's looking for personal prestige. It's exalting. It's himself, themselves. It's taking care of good old number one. And here they are, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And they're over there arguing who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Well, Jesus answers them. Listen to it. Matthew 18. He says, "And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, 'Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom.'" Jesus is telling his disciples, don't you worry who's going to rule and reign in the kingdom. You better get in first. And I'm going to tell you, friends, he took that little child and he said, "Look at this little child. You should become as little child. You should have the characteristics of that child." There's this little children. They're so innocent. They're so forgiving. They're so willing to learn, and you can teach them. They don't have to unlearn and have all their ideas put away. They can learn just with a clean slate. Jesus says, first and foremost, you've got to be like the little child. You have to be humble. And a child isn't looking for preeminence or fame or fortune or prestige. He's open and teachable. And someone has said it right. The child's humility is the pattern of the Christian behavior to his fellow men. And the child's dependence and trust are the pattern of Christian's attitude toward God. We have to learn humbleness. And humbleness, as I say, is a door into the kingdom. That is, you have to humble yourselves and tell Jesus that we're a poor, lost sinner and we don't deserve anything. Too many people are saying, oh, I'm going, you ask them, are you going to heaven? Oh, yeah, I give money to the church. Don't give about 2 cents probably. And or I've been good and then been about, yeah, they've been good alongside of some outlaw. And so they think of all the things they've done. But God says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but his mercy. He says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And all that money you've given and the work you've done, whatever you've done, with some of you it's not very much, I can tell you that. And you have to just give yourself to God. And so there are people, they're too proud to admit that they need a Savior. They're too proud to bow their head and ask Jesus to come in to save them. They're good enough in and of themselves. And their righteousness is as filthy rags, as nothing. And you have to have Jesus. And I've been in the ministry 72 years now preaching. And I can't tell you the number of people I've seen. I can think in my mind right now of one man. He was a banker in a city. And he was a proud man, but he wanted to know about accepting Jesus. Came to my study and talked to me. And I told him, you have to confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you have to make a stand for the Lord. And he wouldn't do it. He didn't want to turn. He didn't want to humble himself. He didn't want the community to know that he was a follower of Jesus Christ. And yet the Lord says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. He says we need to confess the Lord with our mouth and with our life and our testimony. Too proud. And I pray to God that that man opened his heart to Jesus and was born again. I pray that before he died, he turned to Jesus. But I never, ever saw or ever heard of it. So the kingdom, you want to be in the kingdom, you have to come to Jesus. Now, once we're born again, when we accept Jesus Christ, we're born again. And the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ, and we become a part of his body. He writes our name in the Lamb's book of life, and we will never perish. And he gives us eternal life, and then he says, I hold you in my hands, and you will never perish. It's not me holding on to Jesus, it's Jesus holding on to me. And that happens the moment you accept Jesus. And here's a little 9-year-old boy. I was 10 years old. I have a daughter who was 5 years old when she accepted Jesus. She's in her 60s walking with the Lord and loving the Lord. If you're old enough so you can love your parents, you can love Jesus. And don't you come around to me and tell me children can't be born again. They can be born again a lot easier than you old gray heads, because you get here a mutt in a rut and you won't change. You've been that way forever. And oh God, sometimes they do. And I pray if you're in a long in years and you're a gray head and you've never bowed your head to Jesus and asked him to save you, I'm praying that you do that right now. Just say, oh God, you're talking to my heart. I know I ought to have you in my life. I want you in my life. I'm coming close to the end of life. I need you. I want to be sure I'm going to heaven and not to hell. And you ask Jesus into your heart, your own words, in your own way. I talked to a man not too long ago. He didn't know a two cents about praying. And I told him, now, this is what you need to do. You ask Jesus in your own words. He asked Jesus to forgive him, and then he named some sins. But I almost fell off my chair. And he told Jesus about it. And then when he came to the end, he didn't say amen. You know what he said? Goodbye. He didn't know you're supposed to say amen. And who cares? And so just come to Jesus. And so examine yourself. That's the first thing we have to do. Look at ourselves and see if we have any evil thoughts. If there's any anger, any lust, any unforgiveness. Is there any bitterness and resentment or envy or pride? Or do we covet what somebody else has? Look at ourselves and then look to Jesus. You remember what Jesus said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things, the good things, will be added unto you. And so seek the first. You see, thou shalt, he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so we have our wealth. and our pleasure and our pride in our business. It could be anything, and then it could be some idol that people made and formed and built out with their own hands and then got down and worshiped it. How can you do such a thing? And so put God first. And when you put God the first in your life, the first thing is you give him your allegiance. You ask him into your life. And maybe you did that years ago and you drifted away. You come back to him like the prodigal son. Come back and he'll receive you and he'll forgive you if you repent of your sins. You said, yeah, but I've had to repent several times. Repent another time. 70 times 7. God's grace is greater than all of our sins. You come to Jesus. And then what we have to do is we have to put others second. Oh, don't put number one first, but put God first and then others second and look at their needs and look to see where you can help them, where you can give a helping hand or a loving hand, and then put yourself last. And your old self won't like that. It'll go against everything you know. We were born putting self first. We were born that way. You take two little children, they maybe can't even talk, and you give them some toys and they're over there fighting over one. They both want one. They're not old enough even to talk hardly, and they're fighting. That's nature. Human nature is to love ourselves. And you say no to self, self-denial, and then stay close to Jesus. You do that, when we stay close to Jesus, he'll show us exactly where we're off base, and he'll take us back, and he'll help us, and we'll start to become beautiful. Because as we have that humility, and as we're like Jesus, we become beautiful. Even in old age, you can be beautiful and love Jesus and serve him. And so when we stand by the Lord Jesus Christ, we just thank him and love him. And always do this. Remember where you came from. Remember where you came from. Old Isaiah says, chapter 51 and verse 1, look under the rock from which you were hewn and go to the hole of the pit from which you were digged. He says, remember your roots. Remember what your past was. Some of you Christians been walking with the Lord and you're pretty sanctimonious. You just remember the pit you were taken out of. Remember the rock that you were hewn from. And just be sure that you don't get proud because your black background will sell you out every time. Charles Swindoll puts it so well. He says, before we get all enamored with our high and mighty importance, it's a good idea to take a backward glance at the whole of the pit from which Christ lifted us. And let's not just think about it. Let's admit it. It has a way of keeping us all on the same level. And he says that we all need the grace of God on the same level. And don't kid yourself, he says, even those who are extolled and admired has holes from which they were dug. They've all got something in their past they wish to God that wasn't there. But it's there until you come to Jesus. And then he washes it all away. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So you have to come to Jesus. Just remember the past of some of these other people that we read about in the Bible. With Moses, it was murder. With Elijah, it was deep depression, wanted to take his life. With Peter, it was public denial. With Samson, it was recurring lust. With Thomas, it was cynical doubting. With Jacob, it was deception. With Rahab, it was prostitution. With Japheth, it was an illegitimate birth, And from all these things, God can make us something beautiful. And so God is saying, you come to me, and I'll make you over. All things will become new. You are born again. And when we're born again, we become a new creation in Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes within us and dwells within us, and he cleanses us of all of our sin. And then we walk with Jesus, and we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And the more like Jesus we become, the more beautiful we become. That's the way to be beautiful. So if you're coming to the Lord, you call, you write to us and let us know. We'll send you some literature. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And let me tell you something else. We need your prayers and we need your help. We're dependent upon the gifts of God's people. We're not underwritten by any corporation or denomination, but it's just God's people scattered all over the world. And you know something else? If you're at the ends of the earth, you can send us a gift because you can get on the internet and you can get ChristianWorshipHour.com. And on there, you can get PayPal and you can send a gift, your currency. And when we get it, it'll be an American currency and we can pay our bills. And if you wonder about how we handle the money, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they check our books, not only what we get, but how we spend it. And over 90% of everything we get goes on radio and television time. So we're going to have a prayer. And every week we pray for another brothers and sisters who are suffering. And today we're praying for the people in Sudan. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. And thank you for all who've opened their heart to you. And thank you, Lord, for those who are having troubles, that they can find help and strength in you. And pray, Lord, we pray for those in Sudan, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Some have given their lives, and they're in eternity. They're in the presence of God. And we pray for those left behind. And, Lord, we pray for those who are on beds of sickness, and those who are aged, and those who are lonely, and young people who are in despair and don't know which way to turn and what decision in life to make. You're the good shepherd, and you guide us and direct us. So, Lord, help them, and help them all to write to us and give it again. We'll give it again to those of you on the shortwave radio. We cover 90% of the world. It's the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So God bless you, and God give you a wonderful week. And maybe this will be the week that Jesus comes one of these days. The trumpet's going to sound, and the Lord's going to return. The dead in Christ will be raised up first, and then we are alive and remain caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, that's going to happen. Maybe it'll happen. If it doesn't happen, and God doesn't take you home or take me home, then next weekend, we'll get together again and we'll talk about the matter of just trusting you and loving you and following you. So God bless you. We love you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.